Right, so, Mr. Vernon, what seems to be the matter with you, then? I see, I see. Well, we better have a look at you. Okay. Open your mouth. Say, ah. Mm-hmm. Okay, have you any pain when I do this? No? Is it okay when I do this? Have you any difficulty breathing, anything like that? No? All right. Okay, well, to be honest with you, I don't think it's anything to worry about. It's just sort of, it's just some sort of virus. I really wouldn't worry about it. Just give it a week, and then come back to me if you don't get better. All right, jolly good. All right, that's £50, please. What do you mean, £50? Cough up. Cough up. I'm an expert. You pay me if I was anything else. You'd pay me if I was a solicitor, or you'd pay me if I was an architect designing a house. I'm a doctor. £50. Cough up. What do you mean, NHS? NHS? SmNHS, more like. I'm not working on the NHS anymore these days. Screw that. I can't afford that. I'm not dealing with the kind of plebs that work on the NHS. I'm not dealing with the kind of violence and nonsense I have to deal with on the NHS. And I'm not dealing with the kind of dysgenic vermin that I have to deal with on the NHS either. I'm offering a service. I've given you that service. Cough up. £50. Now. Immediately. Right. Thank you. Toodlepip. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the collapse of Britain's famed National Health Service. When Britain had the Olympics a few years ago, you had this appalling, maudling opening ceremony in which they tried to make out that the great achievement of Britain was the National Health Service, and that in Britain we have free healthcare at the point of delivery. You have to pay a bit for prescription charges, but everyone pays the same. And otherwise, healthcare is free at the point of delivery, and we are fairly unusual in having that in Britain. Now, it seems to me that the National Health Service is collapsing. The National Health Service is going to totally collapse. And part of the reason for this, basically, is that intelligence is collapsing. And also, there's a high level of dysgenics on health, which means that it is now impossible to sustain this National Health Service. It's out. We're going to return to how we were before the 1940s, when you paid, and you paid quite a lot of money, to see a doctor. Now, let's look at why this is the case. First of all, increasingly, people who are doctors don't like it and are leaving the National Health Service. In 2019, there was an article in The Telegraph which showed that almost half of general practitioners, that's the normal doctors you go and see with everyday things, were planning to quit over the next 5 years. In 2021, there was another survey which found the same thing. About a third of doctors were planning to quit over the next 5 years from the NHS, with pressures of COVID being the main reason. There was an article in The Guardian which found that 65% of doctors were planning to quit over the next 5 years. So basically, the kind of people that are working as general practitioners have had enough. They've had enough of the pressure. There is a constant pressure on the NHS. Constantly, there is financial pressure. You have new, innovative ways of treating people. You have all of this stuff which has to be paid for, and there's not enough money going into it. So you have far too many people that are turning up sick. You have far too much financial pressure on them. You have far too much pressure on them from angry people that expect a free service, and it's slow and rubbish. And so there's pressure on them, and they want to leave. These are intelligent people, and they could make far more money being private doctors than they could on the National Health Service. Now, the awfulness of the National Health Service, I personally haven't used it for a very long time, since about 2000 and, it might have been 2002 or 2003 when I had particularly bad flu. And so I went to the local hospital. I was told to do this by this NHS director that you ring up. He said you should go to the hospital. I went to the hospital. I was treated with complete contempt. The hospital was dirty and filthy with this appalling, ugly woman working as the receptionist. I then eventually went to see the doctor, and the doctor was incredibly rude to me and said, you've no business coming here with this kind of relatively minor illness. This is for serious people, serious problems. I said, hang on a minute, I rang National Health Direct, the NHS Direct, and they told me to come here. That is why I am here. There is no need to be so unbelievably rude. To which the doctor, female doctor, said to me, very posh woman, said to me being rude, I think you'll find it's you that's been extremely rude to me throughout this whole consultation. I said, why shouldn't I be rude to you? I am the cousin customer. I am paying your salary. I am paying for your salary, your outrageously high salary. Why on earth shouldn't I be direct with you when I've been waiting here for 3 hours to see a doctor? What was it she said now? She said, well, look, I think that we can. I've told you what I think, and I think now you should just leave. That's what she said. And I said, yeah, I will leave, but you have the worst bedside manner I've ever come across in a doctor. I wouldn't be at all surprised if people would die in your care. And then she just stormed out of the room. Admittedly, she was under a great deal of pressure to constantly see people who were obviously going to be angry and annoyed, as I was. Admittedly, I was young and silly and 22 years old, and that's the kind of pressure they're under. So more and more people, because it's so terrible, are using private healthcare and are paying for private healthcare. They are then dealing with the pain of massive waiting lists to see a doctor, enormous waiting lists to deal with anything by taking opioids. You have waiting lists that are years long. For example, at the moment in the NHS, it is believed that if a doctor takes a view that it damages you psychologically to have breasts that are too big or too small, then you should have a boob job on the NHS. There is currently a year-long waiting list for a boob job, when in some cases it's damaging women's backs to have breasts that are so big. 1 in 10 people in the British population are currently on NHS waiting list. It is an enormous burden on the taxpayer, and there is enormous pressure on the doctors, who have increasingly angry and annoyed people who are not able to see doctors in a timely fashion, and where private healthcare, because it's not become an endemic part of British life, because it's gradually been phased out, at least at the level of the GP, is extraordinarily expensive. Now, what is the problem with the NHS? Well, the first problem is that when it was established, medical care was relatively basic. So there wasn't really much hospitals could do. There was a few medicines and things like that, but otherwise a lot of it was placebo. It was give them the blue pill, give them the red pill, and they'd go away. Now, it's incredibly expensive. You've got all these medicines, and yet everybody pays the same amount, no matter how expensive your medicine is. It could cost £100 for the medicine, it could cost £1, but everybody pays whatever it is, £15. So you've got this, it doesn't sustain itself. You've got this incredibly expensive system, not enough money is going in. The second problem is that the proportion of people paying tax is declining, because people who, we are of dysgenics on intelligence, so more and more people are of such low IQ that they just can't, they don't work, they're not intelligent enough to do any kind of work, they live off welfare. And so there's not, as IQ declines, which we know it is, we've gone down 15 points between the 1880s and now, which is the difference between a high school science teacher and a science professor, there are fewer and fewer people paying money into the system, but yet the system is becoming, as we make these minor medical advances, based on, you know, that if you build up capital based on high intelligence, you only need minor tinkering to keep it growing, then you get to more and more developing, and so it's more and more difficult to pay for it. Thirdly, people are becoming, because of the success of the NHS, more and more genetically sick. So you get more and more people surviving into old age, but who are highly morbid, who need constant, who have diabetes, who are obese, who have hypertension, who have all kinds of problems, and these people need to be sustained by the NHS, and it's incredibly expensive to do so. In previous generations, these people would be dead by their mid-60s, but now they're alive, but they have to be kept alive by very expensively by this system. We have a population that is dysgenic on health, that is becoming genetically more sick. We are literally selecting for low intelligence, for heart disease, for strokes, for diabetes. These kinds of people, these things are comorbid, because of course we were under selection until 1800 or whatever for high intelligence and also for good genetic health, and so these things have become comorbid. We are now selecting for low intelligence. People that have low IQ have more children, and having low IQ genetically correlates with physical and mental poor health. So therefore we are becoming more sick as a population, and therefore there is more expense involved in treating the population. To make matters worse, if you have low intelligence, you then make poor life decisions. So even at the environmental level, you will become overweight, you will become diabetic, you will have strokes, you will have heart disease and whatever, and indeed you will become addicted to alcohol, you will become addicted to drugs, and this, of course, then you go to the NHS if you have a problem, and this all has to be paid for. So all of this puts the health service under incredible pressure. And it puts doctors under incredible pressure because they have to deal with this burgeoning service with less and less money, fewer and fewer people paying into it, but more and more that it can do. To make matters worse, we know that not just are we becoming more intelligent, less intelligent, we are becoming more our strategists. One of the things that predicts breeding is low conscientiousness. So people that have poor impulse control, they are more likely to have children. They are our strategists. They are evolved to an environment of live fast, die young, have lots of sex, pass on your genes as quickly as possible before you get wiped out. An unstable yet easy ecology, an R strategy. That kind of ecology does not select for group orientation. If it's a cold ecology where it's harsh and unpredictable, then you start interacting with other people. You're more likely to survive as part of a group. Therefore, you become higher in conscientiousness, you become higher in agreeableness, you become higher in group-oriented traits and pro-social personality. These people are not, that's what we were selecting for until 1800. Because the child mortality rate in 1800 was 50% and it's now 1%, we have collapsed in terms of Darwinian selection pressure for being group-oriented, which we were to a great extent, and we've moved away from it to more and more people that would have died under Darwinian selection pressures that are extremely anti-group-oriented, that are extremely selfish and individualist. So the doctors are going to be dealing with more and more selfish, unpleasant, aggressive people who are going to get very, very nasty when they don't get what they want, and they increasingly won't get what they want, or they won't get it in a timely fashion because of the pressures on the National Health Service, which I just laid out. Then you have the fact that you have just lots and lots of people that are too old. These people are not contributing to any substantial degree to the National Health Service, but they are a massive drain on the National Health Service. And there's just so many of them. They're so elderly and it cannot be sustained. Until recently, what's called social care, i.e. if you're decrepit, then that's not a health issue. That's a social issue. That's not part of the NHS. So you have to pay for it for your own money if you need 24-hour care because you can't walk or whatever. That they're now trying to bring this, to a certain extent, into the NHS to make this paid for out of tax, out of general taxation, which will put even more pressure on the NHS because you've got all these elderly people, but they're not healthy elderly people. They're elderly people who are fed and watered by the National Health Service and thus live for ages and ages and ages with all kinds of morbidities, all kinds of problems, which are expensive and have to be paid for. And their relatives or whatever are going to be aggressive and nasty to the doctors, which is pushing the doctors out and making the doctors want to leave. Now, not enough tax because of low IQ, as I said. Now, in New Zealand, it's got to a point, what with it being isolated and whatever, where there is literally a shortage of doctors. And New Zealand has some kind of National Health Service. I don't know if it's as all-encompassing as the British one, but it has some kind of National Health Service. So that's another problem. There are not enough people becoming doctors. Why? Number of reasons for this. First of all, doctors have increasingly been attracting women. And once something becomes, Dame Carol Black, I think her name was, did an article on this many years ago in the medical journal, and she noted that once there's too many women, then something becomes a women's game. Once it becomes a women's game, then it doesn't attract men. It has low status. And this is what has gradually happened to the medical profession. The medical profession used to have very high status. Now, of course, it's well paid, but it now has decreasingly high status because men associate it with women. It's become a women's game. Now, that means that, what are women like? Women are not particularly career-oriented compared to men. Women are not particularly focused on their careers. They will take time out to go and have babies and whatever. So therefore, you end up with a situation where there aren't enough doctors. If the doctors were all men, then they would get their job and they would do their job and they would be focused on status and their job would be really, really important to them and nothing else would be particularly important to them. And so you would have more than enough doctors. If lots and lots of doctors are women, then they're not particularly ambitious. They're not particularly career-focused compared to men and they take time out to have babies. So you don't have enough doctors. In addition, we know that we have moved over in society towards a more individualistic society. We used to be a society that was high these group-oriented values, and you were pushed down a roadmap of life which said you have to always think about the good of the group. This flipped over in about the 60s, and now we are an individualistic society which thinks about what is good for the individual. Now, there's a big part of being a doctor. Yes, it's well-paid, remunerated. There is a big part of it that is service. They work incredibly long hours and they have to get something out of it, and it's the service to the community that they like. Well, there's research indicating that among young people don't want to be doctors. They don't want to be doctors in the way that they used to be. They want to be YouTubers and things like this, and celebrities. They don't want to be doctors. So there's not enough, there's not the ambition to become doctors, which means that you have to get doctors in from abroad. This causes further problems, by the way, because as we know, people like being with people that are genetically similar to themselves, and so they're evolved to be in that situation, and so they get upset and unhappy if they're with people that are not similar to themselves. Therefore, you're more likely to get abuse and things like this from patients, and therefore you're more likely to want to opt out of being a doctor for that in the NHS for that reason as well. Also, the whole thing of immigration, it's been shown, reduces social trust because people feel that if there's foreigners, then other people in their own group will collaborate against them with the foreigners. So it reduces social trust even between people of the same ethnic group. And therefore, you get lower social trust, more nastiness, more individualism, more unpleasantness, more people wanting to drop out of the NHS because it's so ghastly. If you're a doctor working there, then you have a phenomenon known as the Great Resignation, which is increasingly the case that people are leaving difficult service-oriented jobs, such as being a doctor, in order to better themselves, in order to have a better life, because they're not particularly service-oriented. And now we are in a situation in Britain where a third of doctors are trained abroad. Now, OK, that's making up for the shortfall in people becoming doctors and people staying in the medical profession, but the problem with that is it brings in these social tensions which I already mentioned, and this can make it unpleasant to be a doctor, and this can make people drop out. So it seems to be the case that what is likely to happen for all of these reasons, because of dysgenics, because of dysgenics causing greater R strategy, because of immigration and whatever, is going to be the collapse of the National Health Service. When I was a child, the National Health Service was even more free than it is now. They only brought in, they didn't even have, I think dental care was free when I was very young. Even that was free at the point of delivery. And I think it's going to get to a point now soon where people increasingly are going to migrate away from the NHS into private healthcare. And then, of course, eventually there won't be enough people using the NHS to justify having a particular health practice. The health practice will start to close down and the whole system will start to privatise as it did with dentistry, such that increasingly now in England, there's vast areas where there's no NHS dentist. There's just pointless being an NHS dentist. And you will have this, there's just large areas where there won't be NHS doctors. Then, of course, it will be more lucrative to be a doctor, ironically, in a wealthy area where people are quite well, quite not that sick, and they're quite pleasant and reasonable, but they can afford the fees, rather than be a doctor in a poor area where people need the doctors. But, I mean, this was the case before the NHS was established, that you had loads and loads of doctors in wealthy areas, but in poor areas of London you had hardly any doctors. And those people will then get even more sick and more ill and die. And that I see as the future of the NHS. Well, I hope this is a bit of interest. If it has, then please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Remember, I live show Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!